It's November of the year 1215 in Rome. Many bishops, priests, and religious are in Rome on the occasion of the Fourth Lateran Council, called by Pope Innocent III. The council will address several issues, certain points of doctrine and discipline, details about the upcoming Fifth Crusade, and the moral reformation of the clergy, which has become an issue in recent decades. Regarding this last problem, two holy men have come to Rome to seek the Pope's approval for their religious orders. One is named Francis, the other named Dominic. Previously, they had both had visions of the other, and they happily embraced when they recognized each other in the crowd. Pope Innocent has also had visions of these two. In the midst of the moral crisis weakening the Church, in which many bishops and priests are living more according to the world than according to the rule of the Gospel, Pope Innocent has seen both of these men in his dreams propping up a crumbling Lateran Basilica, which he interprets as a providential sign that these two men will help reform and save the Church. Having previously denied both men's request for the approval of the rule of life for their new religious orders, both based on a mendicant life of poverty, he eventually gives both his blessing, recognizing the importance of the example of a life of poverty in reforming the Church. These two religious orders, which we now know as the Franciscans and the Dominicans, will indeed play a very important role in reforming the Church and the morals of the clergy, in evangelizing millions, and in providing an example to the whole world of what it looks like to be conformed to the life of Christ the Lord. This is a walk through Catholic history, where we visit the most significant events in the life of Christ's Church on earth throughout the ages. Episode 8, St. Francis and St. Dominic. Giovanni Bernardone was born in 1180 in Assisi. His name was later changed to Francesco or Francis, apparently on account of his parents' love for France, as his mother was French and his father was a cloth merchant who had been many times to France. Since his father was a cloth merchant, the family was relatively wealthy, and Francis enjoyed the life of wealth and leisure. He was social, affable, merry, and known as a pleasure seeker. But even in his immaturity, there were signs of his future generosity and love of the poor, as he was very generous toward beggars. Francis loved tales of knights and chivalry, and when a battle broke out with the neighboring city of Perugia, he joined the campaign. During this battle, he was taken prisoner for over a year and fell ill. Being bedridden for a long time with illness, he seems to have turned his thoughts to graver matters. And when he returned to Assisi, he was not as enthusiastic about revelry with his friends. He became more prayerful and solemn and sought a life of solitude. A pivotal moment in his conversion is his encounter with a leper who at first repulsed him. But recognizing God in this sick and disfigured man, Francis approached and hugged him and gave him everything he had. Later on, he was praying in a broken-down chapel named San Damiano, and the crucifix that hung there spoke to him and asked him to rebuild the church. First understanding this to be an immediate practical command to rebuild the crumbling chapel of San Damiano, Francis immediately went and took a large amount of expensive cloth from his father and sold it that he might be able to buy stones and supplies for this purpose. When his father Pietro found out about this, he was so enraged that Francis fled and hid in a cave to escape his father's wrath. He eventually returned home to the mocking and jeering of the townspeople and was locked by his father in a small room. His mother eventually freed him when his father was gone, and Francis took up residence with the priest of San Damiano. At his father's insistence, Francis not only gave back the money he had taken, but even gladly rejected his inheritance, and did so publicly in the town square before the bishop. Francis took off all his clothes, showing that he intended to embrace absolute poverty, and said that his father was no longer Pietro, but Our Father who art in heaven. Thereafter, Francis lived as a wandering mendicant, roaming the hills of Assisi and gladly endured the abuse that he received from people. This mockery eventually wore off, and people became more and more impressed with Francis's joy in the midst of poverty. While praying at Mass in 1208 in the Church of Our Lady of the Angels, the Gospel of the day was from Luke chapter 9. And Jesus said to them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money, neither have two coats. And whatsoever house you shall enter into, abide there and depart not from thence. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off even the dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And going out, they went about through the towns, preaching the gospel. Francis took this as a divine confirmation of his life of poverty, and from that day forward wore only a coarse woolen garment with a rope tied around his waist. This radical example of evangelical poverty began to attract people, and the only rule upon which this early community was based were those words of our Lord enjoining poverty for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The order of friars minor, meaning lesser or lower brothers, exploded to over 5,000 by 1220. At their general chapter, they divided the world into areas which they would go out and conquer two by two by their preaching and example. According to the Catholic Encyclopedia, quote, "Like children careless of the day, they wandered from place to place, singing in their joy, and calling themselves the Lord's minstrels. The wide world was their cloister. Sleeping in haylofts, grottos, or church porches, they toiled with the laborers in the fields, and when none gave them work, they would beg. In a short while, Francis and his companions gained an immense influence, and men of different grades of life and ways of thought flocked to the order." Unquote. Francis's zeal for souls was undaunted, and he toured through Italy amassing huge crowds to hear his incredible preaching, quote, "He usually preached out of doors, in the marketplaces, from church steps, from the walls of castle courtyards. Allured by the magical spell of his presence, admiring crowds followed Francis from place to place, hanging on his lips. Church bells rang at his approach. Processions of clergy and people advanced to meet him with music and singing. They brought the sick to him to bless and heal, and kiss the very ground on which he trod, and even sought to cut away pieces of his tunic. The extraordinary enthusiasm with which the saint was everywhere welcomed was equaled only by the immediate and visible result of his preaching. His exhortations of the people, for sermons they can hardly be called, short, homely, affectionate, and pathetic, touched even the hardest and most frivolous, and Francis became in sooth a very conqueror of souls." Unquote. So closely conformed was Francis to Christ and his passion that on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross on September 14, 1224, Francis received from a seraph the five wounds of Christ on his own body. This miracle was witnessed by many and is a very well-established historical fact. In fact, relics of his skin bearing the signs of his stigmata can be seen in Assisi still today. This gift of stigmata physically weakened him, and it was only 2 years later that he died at the age of 45 on October 3, 1226. Wishing to embrace poverty to the very end, he removed his habit and died laying on the earth, listening to the account of Christ's passion from the Gospel of John. Unfortunately, with such a large and expanding order, the original simplicity and radical poverty became hard to maintain, and it grieved Francis when he saw that in some places the brothers had books or other property, or even called a building their own. The future of the order would be plagued by division and straying from the simplicity of its founder. Nevertheless, the impact of the Franciscan order on the Church cannot be overstated, as Francis was seen as truly another Christ, sent by God in his providence to recall wayward and worldly clergy and laity back to the cross and to the Lord's command to leave all attachment to worldly pleasure and wealth behind for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Among the loyal sons of St. Francis in the Franciscan order who would have an impact on the Church throughout history are St. Anthony of Padua, St. Bernardine of Siena, St. Bonaventure, St. Junipero Serra, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, St. Joseph of Cupertino, St. John of Capistrano, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and many others. Not to mention the many spiritual daughters of St. Francis, first among whom is St. Clare of Assisi, who was among the first disciples of St. Francis and was the first woman to found a religious order dedicated to poverty, the Order of Poor Ladies, later named the Poor Clares. During this age of reform, when Christ was purifying his Church, he raised up another spiritual light, who, along with St. Francis, would play a principal role in God's providential plan for his Church. Dominic de Guzman was born in 1170 in the Kingdom of Castile in Spain to a noble family. He was very well educated and was ordained a priest in 1194. About 10 years later, while traveling in the south of France, he witnessed the spiritual damage caused by the preaching of a new heresy, Albigensianism. Or rather, not a new heresy, but the resurgence of an ancient Gnostic heresy, which had a dualistic worldview, that there was a good God manifested in the New Testament and the source of all spirit, and an evil God manifested in the Old Testament, the source of all matter. This boiled down to a view of a good God and an evil God, equal and opposed. And it led to a skewed moral worldview, which saw the body and material creation as bad. Dominic recognized that these zealous heretical preachers needed to be opposed by zealous Orthodox preachers, and already at this point conceived the idea of a new order of preachers to preach against heresy. For the present moment, however, the Pope had given the task of preaching against the Albigensians to the Cistercian order, a reform of the Benedictine order. However, the Cistercians led opulent lives, and therefore had no credibility with the very ascetic Albigensians. Dominic convinced the Cistercians to lead a more ascetical life, and their preaching thereafter was very successful. This embrace of poverty recommended by Dominic will later play an essential part in the order he establishes. Dominic himself was very successful in preaching and disputing with the heretics and converted many. Before starting his own order, however, he established convents for women throughout France to protect them from this heresy. After instances of violence of the Albigensians against Catholic prelates, a crusade was launched in France to suppress this dangerous sect. One of the victories in a city called Marais was considered miraculous and attributed to the prayers of St. Dominic, and probably more specifically to the Rosary, which was revealed to St. Dominic. Since the Fourth Lateran Council dealt with the correction of heresy and the moral reform of the clergy, Dominic traveled to Rome to seek approval from the Pope for his new order. It was during this time that he and St. Francis met, and for this reason their two orders always have had a close relationship. Unfortunately, he was not immediately given approval by Pope Innocent III, and so he and his group of followers lived by the rule of St. Augustine, which was general enough to adapt itself to a new way of life. A year later, he again requested confirmation, and this time was successful, and on December 22, 1216, the Order of Preachers was founded. In 1218, the Pope, Honorius III, sent a bull to all bishops and abbots recommending and promoting the Order of Preachers. Since the order was founded primarily to preach the Orthodox faith, excellent formal education played a central role in the formation of the brothers. Houses of the Order of Preachers were formed near all of the best universities, such as the University of Paris and the University of Bologna. Having already established many convents in France, Dominic established foundations in Spain, Germany, and Italy as well. Regarding St. Dominic's zeal and holiness, we read in the Catholic Encyclopedia, quote, "The life of St. Dominic was one of tireless effort in the service of God. While he journeyed from place to place, he prayed and preached almost uninterruptedly. His penances were of such a nature as to cause the brethren, who accidentally discovered them, to fear the effect upon his life. If he abominated heresy and labored untiringly for its extirpation, it was because he loved truth and loved the souls of those among whom he labored. He never failed to distinguish between sin and the sinner. It is not to be wondered at, therefore, if this athlete of Christ, who had conquered himself before attempting the reformation of others, was more than once chosen to show forth the power of God." Unquote. Among the great Dominican saints are St. Raymond of Penniford, St. Hyacinth, St. Albert the Great, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Vincent Ferrer, and St. Thomas Aquinas, whose theological contributions to the Church are unmatched. Both St. Francis and St. Dominic reminded the Church of their day of the importance of the contemplation of the truths of the Gospel, of preaching Christ through words and deeds, and of conforming oneself to Christ through simplicity and poverty. Though there were times of bitter contention between these two orders throughout history, they remain closely linked through the spiritual friendship of their founders. Dante has St. Thomas Aquinas say, quote, "Now take Francis and take poverty to be the lovers meant in my recounting. Their harmony and their glad looks, their love and wonder and their gentle contemplation served others as a source of holy thoughts." Unquote. Commenting on the fraternal relationship between these two orders, Dominican friar Patrick Mary Briscoe says, quote, Perhaps surprising to some, Dante, writing less than a century after the death of St. Francis, chooses a Dominican to give his eulogy. And in the next canto, it is none other than the great Franciscan theologian St. Bonaventure who sings the praises of St. Dominic. By thus arranging his poem, Dante immortalizes the profound bond between the Dominican and Franciscan orders. Boasting innumerable saints and theologians, these two orders have had a profound impact on the history of the Church. In addition to their promotion of the intellectual life, the contemplative life, and the ascetical life, they kept the Church's missionary spirit alive, always hungering to bring more souls to Christ. In fact, the Franciscans and the Dominicans were among the first missionaries in the New World in the 15th and 16th centuries. The story of St. Francis and St. Dominic and their respective orders should comfort and assure us that, no matter the state of the Church in any point in history, God in His providence always raises up saints to call us back to Himself by their example. The dark times in which we live, therefore, should not cause us to despair. Rather, we should redouble our efforts to lead a holy life, confident that Christ never abandons His Church and never leaves her without the necessary means to holiness.